Several decades ago, I ruined a relationship with a very close friend. I spoke something unkind about him, and it got back to him almost immediately. I apologized up and down for my actions, but he said that he and his wife, both friends of ours, said they could never forgive me. That relationship of many years, like I say, it was completely ruined. Even though the couple lived just a few miles away from Kennard, we never bumped into each other out in public. It seems almost impossible that that would happen. About 25 years later, we actually saw them in a grocery store. And then a couple weeks later, we accidentally ran into each other. And then only days after that, did we catch the same movie at the same theater at the same time. Was this random fate or the hand of the Lord? I think it was God giving us another second chance. After the movie, we went out to eat. And then we went back to their house and sat on the deck and talked and cried. And I repented again and again. And they forgave me. And our relationship was back together again. Today's scripture is all about relationships, and particularly our relationship with each other. Relationships are very important. In fact, Christianity is described not as a religion, but as a relationship. It's because at the heart of our faith is our belief that the one who created us to have a real and loving relationship wants to have that with us. Here's what Jesus actually said. We're in Matthew chapter 18. Today we're starting with verse 15. Jesus says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. And then Jesus says in verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two or three agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among you. Again, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. And there's words, there's wisdom in those words. The heart of our faith is not a set of teachings and beliefs about God. It's not a set of rules to follow to please God. It's a relationship with God. A relationship that is made possible by the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ. A relationship that is made alive in our lives through faith. It is the most important relationship we will ever have, that relationship with God. But a close second is our relationship with each other. Think of what Jesus said about the greatest commandment. It is to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourself. Or even think of the Ten Commandments. The first four are about our relationship with God, and the last six are about our relationship with each other. Both relationships are important. So today, I'm going to spend some time looking at these two relationships, taking them in order of importance, and that means I want to start with our relationship with God. The most important relationship is that, our relationship with God. We were created by God and created to be in relationship with God. a long, long, long time ago, a man by the name of St. Augustine pointed this out. He said, our hearts are restless. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. If our relationship with God is not healthy, all our other relationships will suffer. I even wonder if a lot of the problems we have in our world these days might be because that primary relationship between us and God is not healthy. But God has a plan to restore and reconcile this primary relationship. That's why Jesus came. He came to reconcile us to his heavenly Father, to restore this vital relationship. You see, sin had damaged the relationship. Our sin was ushered into the world through Adam and Eve's disobedience, but kept in the world through the sin of every subsequent generation. Sin is what damaged the most important relationship of all. So, what did God do? Rather than give up on the relationship, God set about fixing it. God's only Son was sent to take our sins to the cross and restore our relationship to the Heavenly Father. It is a gift we call grace. But as you can imagine, a relationship takes two. Grace describes God's action and reminds us that it is a free gift. But faith describes our response. Faith describes our part in that relationship. We receive this gift by faith, trusting God's promise to us. By grace, we have been saved through faith. But what does that mean to be saved? Well, first and foremost, it means to have our relationship with our Creator reconciled and restored. Again, Christianity is all about relationship. But we can't stop there, because before Jesus went to the cross to restore our relationship with the Father, he was very busy working on another very important relationship, our relationship with each other. He called his disciples not just to follow him, but to gather together, to become a community, eventually to become a church, the church. It was very important for Jesus that his followers stay connected, that they become a community of believers, a community that cares for one another. Does the Kennard Friends Church care for one another? Absolutely. What was that thing you did earlier, Pete? Does the Kennard Friends Church pray for one another? Check. And does the Kennard Friends Church share gifts with one another? There we go. That's what Jesus wants. That's what we're doing. This was so important that Jesus made an amazing promise in verse 20 that we've already read. He said, where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among you. Now, thankfully, he doesn't tell us how we must gather. So we have to trust that Jesus will honor his promise. Today, we gather in person, several of us, but we also gather online. That's why this camera is up here, and we're teaching from the Kennard Friends Church to people all over the place. And they're part of our family as well. So today we're gathering in whatever way we can to be the church. We celebrate his presence among us. Churches around the globe are doing just that. But unfortunately, churches around the globe are doing something else too. They are arguing and disagreeing with each other. And church members are not getting along with one another, and even hurting one another through their words and actions. The friends I mentioned, who I said something derogatory about the man, they're Christian people. We were Christian people. Yet my actions hurt them and hurt our relationship. And this is not just happening in churches, of course. It's happening in schools, in the workplace, and even in families. But it is particularly painful when it happens in churches, as the last place where we would expect it. And Jesus knew that this would happen to his church. After all, it's we, our community of sinners. I always like the saying that the church is a community of sinners, not a museum of saints. Yeah. That's what the outside world sometimes thinks. Mm-hmm. And he offers to all the advice of how to restore a difficult relationship. And that advice is at the heart of today's message. We've just read through it. And I'll respond to some more of it. But before I get to the advice, I want to point out a very important difference between our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. In the case of our relationship with God, Jesus heals it by dying for us. He acts on behalf of his heavenly Father to restore and reconcile that relationship. And then he directly invites us into that relationship. Not every single Sunday do I end with an invitation, but I hope you understand that the invitation to accept Christ is always there. It's from when we walk in the door and we sing the first song. It's when we have our praise and prayer request. It's when we have more singing and we have this message. At any time, you can accept Jesus as your Savior. And then that is why Jesus came, to restore that relationship between us and the Heavenly Father. But what about our relationship with each other? Jesus takes another approach there, because it is really not his problem to solve. It's not his relationship. So what does he give as far as advice? And then what promise does he make? Well, let's look again, starting with verse 15. If another believer, and see, we're talking about Christians to Christians. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. This is the first step in dealing with conflict in the church or anywhere. And it's a wonderful first step. When someone sins against you, go and talk to them. Is anybody writing this down? One on one. Don't ignore the disagreement. Don't expect someone else to deal with it. Don't hope that it will just go away. Don't do all the things that you and I are so tempted to do, because they seem easier than dealing with the disagreement head on. Instead, this is what Jesus says, go and talk with the person one-on-one. Tell them of your hurt. Share with them what you're feeling. Take a chance. Open up to the person. But do it when the two of you are alone. Oh, I could get on a soapbox here, but I'm just going to say it and then move on. Don't post it on Facebook. Yeah. Don't hold a press conference to point it out. Only when the two of you are alone. That's what Jesus is telling us. Imagine if we all did this faithfully. What a difference this one thing could make in all of our relationships. But, of course, that won't always work. So Jesus already has plan B. The person who hurt us won't always listen to us. So Jesus says this in verse 16. If you are unsuccessful, then take one or two others with you and then go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If sharing did not work with them, it's time to ask for help. And this is, again, not the first step, but it is the next and most important step to take when conflict exists. Ask for help. Keep looking for ways to bring about reconciliation and healing. If we can't do it by ourselves, don't be afraid to reach out to someone to help you. What if that doesn't work? Okay, I guess Jesus and Matthew, the writer of the gospel, doesn't identify it this way, but I'm guessing this is plan C. We're down to plan C. There are times when a member of a community is so stubborn and unrepentant, please don't nudge your neighbor at this point, that the entire community needs to be involved. Jesus suggests that if the member refuses to listen to two or three, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, now we're on to plan D. Treat that person like an IRS agent. My apologies to all IRS agents that might be listening into our conversation. And the last piece kind of always interested me. When someone refuses to listen even to the church, Jesus says, let them be as a Gentile, he says, or some translations say as a pagan or a tax collector, a corrupt tax collector at that. And what does Jesus mean by that? Isn't he the one that spent a lot of time with tax collectors? Isn't the author of this gospel that we're studying through a former tax collector, Matthew? Does this mean that we should never give up on them, even though they can't be a part of our community, our church community? Should we still care about them? Well, would certainly seem so. So as I get close to closing here, this is how Jesus teaches us to deal with conflict. But along with this teaching, he offers a promise. And again, I'll say it. For where two or three are gathered, together as my followers, I will be there among them. You're not in this alone. Jesus promises to be with us. Whenever we try to be reconciled with our brother and sister in Christ, he will be there. When we gather in his name like we are today, in person, online, when we gather in his name, when we pray in his name, and when we seek to be reconciled in his name, he promises to be with us. Why? Because more than anything, Jesus wants all our relationships to be healthy and whole. Our relationship with the Heavenly Father, with God, and our relationship with each other. Jesus went to the cross to have our sins forgiven and to have our relationship with God reconciled and restored. But he also went to the cross to keep his promise to be with us always, and in particularly when we seek reconciliation with our brother and sister in Christ. And this promise is not just a doctrine to be believed. It is a relationship to be enjoyed. A relationship that is at the heart of this thing we call Christianity. There's nothing more important than our relationship with God and with one another. So let us tend to both of these relationships faithfully. Finally, let's remember that we are ambassadors of Christ. It was the Apostle Paul that told the church at Corinth that God has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Ambassadors represent their leader and their nation and everything they say or do. As ambassadors for Christ and his kingdom, we do not have the freedom of expressing our own message. Our message is that of reconciliation between God and people. And what I'd like to do in the few minutes we have left is, even in Connie's prayer, she said something about, let us do whatever he asks us to do. And I feel God is asking us to do this through the very message we just read. And that is for you to think about, just in a, as Lynn will play in just a few minutes, as she's playing, you just think about any relationship that you need to have restored, reconciled. Is it someone in the church, this church? Is it someone in the greater church, another Christian brother or sister? Or is it just someone in your family, your neighborhood, at work, at school, wherever it is? I'm so glad that God restored the relationship that was broken for over two decades between this couple that we were so close to. In fact, there was a period of time before we all had kids that every weekend, and this is for, I don't know, a couple years probably, every weekend, one night they were at our house, another weekend we were at their house, playing games, just laughing and having fun, sharing a meal, those kind of things. And I thought we would never have that again. But thank goodness God restored that. And not long after we began our friendship again, found out that she had cancer. And it was very aggressive. And in no time, at age 55, it was February of 2011, she passed away. That could have been lost forever. It could have been lost forever. Don't let any broken relationship you have be lost forever. Lynn, as you play, we're going to pray.